You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. This week is going to be fun because I'm on the road and last night was the season premiere of South Park. Wow, that's popping a little bit. Hello. Maybe if I stand a little farther back. And it was the season premiere of South Park, and I am obsessed with the show. Such a fan. So I thought I'd dedicate this episode to kind of analyzing the episode and satire and how it all works and how it all plays together. Because I think satire is very important, and I think South Park is healing a nation right now, bitterly divided by lizard people spending billions of dollars to make trillions of dollars. See, I never analyze other people's comedy on this show because I felt like it's condescending, but analyzing South Park, I feel like I'm okay with because they're so clearly the best that it's me giving homage. And I also want to address Malcolm Gladwell's ignorant take on satire. I love the dude. I mean, I don't know if I love him. I'm rethinking my stance on Malcolm Gladwell. I mean, his books blew my mind. Fans of the show know I talk about his takes on things all the time. But once I saw his take on satire, I now question everything out of his mouth because he's not a comedian and he's not funny. He's a long distance runner from Canada. And he thinks that comedy has to have a point, that there has to be an agenda. I'll play some clips from his last episode, The Satire Paradox. It's so weird. I learned the hard way not to talk about things that I don't fully understand. And if I do, keep it in the realm of comedy. You know, once I start talking about what it's like being a black man in America, I can run into problems because I don't know what that's like. You know, I'm not going to talk about economics to Malcolm Gladwell because that's his thing. But when he does a long podcast with some pretty intense things to say about what comedy is, he really attacks Tina Fey. You know, the point of comedy. I actually got angry listening to him because he is what's wrong with everything. I mean, as a comedian, it's the threat to comedy is this big money agenda of like your comedy should push a candidate, your comedy should push a product, your comedy should push an ideology. And that's not the point of comedy. And I think a lot of these big people get so rich and so powerful that they forget that the point of comedy is to sit around a fire at the end of the day and laugh off your problems. And the big money problems, you know, the ones Gladwell faces and Hillary Clinton faces and Donald Trump faces. And, you know, I read this essay some woman posted about Hillary and like how she was heckled by men as she was taking an exam to get into Yale or Harvard or whatever law school she went to. I think it was Yale. I think she was valedictorian. Really brilliant woman. But about how she felt on the spot. And it's really, she's always been around these like alpha charismatic men. I actually really enjoyed the article because I wonder what that's like to be her. Like being around Bill Clinton and these Barack Obama and these very charismatic men your whole life and knowing that people don't really like you. And it's not because you're not smart. I mean, Hillary's probably much smarter than Bill and Obama. She's brilliant, but she's not likable. And I think that it's because she just doesn't get what likability is. It's kind of like a gay guy trying to be straight. Like they overdo it and then they act really weird. Where it's like, hey guys, do you guys want to talk about the baseball and drink beers? How great are titties and mouth, right? Right? I mean, it's so obvious. And then because I feel like she's trying to be liked versus just trying to kick ass. You know, she wants to be liked and she's not, you know. And I was thinking about her being heckled. And I'm like, you know what, Hillary, you got heckled taking a test to get into the best law school in the world. I've been spit on by a blacked out woman on Christmas Eve while in front of a whole room full of people. And I thought it was funny. And that's the difference between likable me and unlikable her, because she will be like, how dare, it's like, how dare, people are fucking crazy. And Donald Trump is just like he's just a jackass. And that's why I like South Park, because it doesn't take itself seriously. Okay, I'm going to play you guys the first scene of the season premiere.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We are live at South Park Elementary School, where the local girls' volleyball team is about to take on the Jefferson Sabres.
And, Jim, it is packed. Sellout crowd tonight. The first time in team history. Everyone turning out to see what's going to happen.
That's right, Mike. All eyes tonight are, of course, on fourth grader Nicole Daniels. Will she sit or stand for the national anthem?
This week, with athletes all over the country sitting down for the national anthem, the question on everyone's mind is, what is this little girl going to do?
She's not going to sit down. Why would she?
Screw that. I got $100 riding on this. Come on, Nicole, sit it out.
Now please rise for the national...
Okay, just real quick. You see what they're doing? They're sidestepping the issue of race, and they're mocking the issue of exploitation. They're mocking that now the game isn't the draw, it's the controversy. And they do it in a way that's so unifying and so agendaless and so obvious. All right, let's keep watching. Because now it's like the crowd is like, who's going to kneel? You know, now it's just circus and bread. It's not about the statement they're making. It's all right, watch.
This is it.
The national anthem starts. Nicole Daniels seems to be waiting so far. No stop. Oh, and Heidi Turner is sitting down.
Totally unexpected. All eyes were on Nicole when Heidi Turner comes out of nowhere and sits down
and
for the...
And there goes Megan Ridley. The crowd is going wild. What a turn of events. Let's check in with Dave. And Mike, I've just looked at the girls' Twitter accounts, and it appears they are sitting out the national anthem to protest all the harassment and trolling they receive on the internet. Complete surprise, Dave. Nobody saw this coming. Three girls now sitting down, and finally there goes Nicole.
Wow!
Yeah, $100!
And as the anthem draws to a close, this thing is over.
The final result, four athletes sitting out on the national anthem, three of them not even black. A shocker here in South Park. Thanks for joining us. Oh, my God, that was great.
Play ball.
Isn't that just perfect? The whole thing is, it's so great. I got, because now everybody leaves and they don't even watch the game. And I think we all see that with Colin Kaepernick. Like, no one cares about him as an athlete. They care about him as how many Twitter hits he'll get. And I don't know if you caught the joke that the girls are protesting harassment online and they're tweeting about it. See, they just needle at hypocrisy. That's all they do. They're not saying anything in that statement. They're just making fun of human nature, and that's why they are just brilliant. And I have another scene I want to play for you, and we're going to do a little experiment. This next scene, this is with Eric Cartman, and he's wearing a Tokens Life Matters shirt. And just okay, I want you to listen to this scene and tell and think about, now you can't tell me because, you know, I'm here and you're there and I can't hear you. But I want you to think about what the point of this is.
Fellow students, as you know, an internet troll by the name of SkankHunt42 has been harassing women and girls by making degrading comments on our school message board. The girls are very upset, and many male students believe that it's just because girls don't have a sense of humor. I beg to disagree. Girls rule, women are funny, get over it. Just the other day in the hallway, I heard two male students saying how the new Ghostbusters sucked balls. I was shocked and appalled. It is time for us all to realize and accept that girls are cool and women are funny. Wendy, could you come up here, please? Come on up, Wendy. Wendy Testerberger, guys. Wendy, go ahead. Be funny. Say something funny, Wendy. We can't wait.
I'm not funny.
Hey, girls are funny, Wendy, okay? Get over it. Just do women's comedy stuff. You know, talk about how fat you are and how you want to have sex with guys and then say, my vagina, a lot.
I don't feel like being funny right now.
And that's just the kind of sexist bullcrap that's going to keep you in the kitchen. Sit your ass down. This isn't a joke, you guys. Girls are funny. Baby, why don't you come up here? Come on, baby.
No!
No? Come on, talk about having sex with guys and say vagina and stuff like that. Go ahead. Girls rule, women are funny. Baby, get over yourself, seriously.
Get the mic out of my face!
Huh. Oh my God, that wasn't really all that funny. That's weird. Let's see. Red, you got any zingers for the crowd? No? How about you, Nelly?
Yeah, I got one. You're a fat
Hey, no, that wasn't really funny. It was just angry.
You see, what the problem is that when a little troll is allowed to say anything he wants anonymously, then he speaks for all you boys.
Yeah, that's good. Now, just try to say it a little bit funnier now.
Go ahead and get on our school message board and see what he's saying about us. Then see if you guys think it's funny.
Okay, and then just go, my vagina.
And as our...
Okay. I want you to think, what was he saying by that? Because I noticed something really interesting. I was tweeting along with South Park last night, because this is one of the few things that I'm actually just like a childish fan of. Like, I literally, if it's like my One Direction or Bieber. And I saw people be like, yeah, South Park just stuck it to the feminists and Amy Schumer. They got your number, Amy. And I was like, that to me wasn't the joke. And that's the good satire is, I'll tell you what good satire is. It's when multiple people can have multiple takes. And where is this Gladwell? This Malcolm fucking Gladwell. Where is this asshole? All right. I got to show you what... See, my take on that was he was mocking... He was mocking the impossible position that media and especially the liberal agenda has put women in. Where it's like, be funny right now. Be funny. Everyone knows you're funny. If someone said that to an accomplished male comedian, they would have no idea what to say. I thought the joke was that the sexism I see comes from that whole, like, if you don't like Ghostbusters, you don't like women. Like, look at how great they are. Look at how great they are. Because it's so condescending. Everyone knows the remake of Ghostbusters was a mediocre reboot. Just like any other one. And the fact that if you criticized it, they're like, oh, that means you don't like women. They're mocking that because that is condescending. That's why they gave the character to Eric Cartman, who's an obvious piece of shit and a sexist, bigot, racist fucking psychopath. You know, he killed Scott Tenorman's parents and fed it to him. But that's what I took. And see, that's the beauty is I don't even know what they mean. And that's what makes them so great. It's just funny. Like, listen to Gladwell. Let me try and load this up.
And as they interpret that, then they spend less time thinking about whether that warrants any kind of real consideration or counter-arguing sort of the merits of that message.
This doesn't happen when you listen to a straightforward discussion of politics. You just think about the arguments. But with satire...
Here, you're spending all of your time thinking about the nature of the comedy, which leaves very little mental resources available to think about whether the comedy has truth.
There's a brilliant essay written on this very subject in the...
I mean, what? Why would you want to... What truth? Okay, where's the one about Tina Fey?
I've done other characters and...
God, I want to put you guys something so bad here. He's just eviscerate.
Let's laugh about it.
Hey, this is who she is. But looking back now, I don't think it worked. Because Tina Fey is too busy being funny.
Please welcome the lovely Tina Fey, ladies and gentlemen.
In October 2008, just before the election, Tina Fey does an interview with the talk show host David Letterman. Now, you would think, with the vote looming, Fey and Letterman would want to talk about the subject of her satire or the intention of her satire. The fact that someone this unqualified might be less than a month away from the vice presidency. But they don't. They talk entirely about the mechanics of Fey's satire.
She's got that crazy accent. It's a little bit Fargo. It's a little bit Reese Witherspoon in Election. And it also, I tried to base it on my friend Paula's grandma. Her grandma was this sweet, sweet old lady from Joliet, Illinois. And she would always say, like, oh, this and that and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be our next vice president. Oh, no.
But it sounded to me a little, and I don't know what the connection would be. It sounds a little like Upper Midwest, kind of Great Lakes region.
Yeah, she's dropping the G's, you know, and her R's are, she really loves, you know, like these terrorists and William Ayers and... And she digs in those R's. I think she thinks there's oil in those R's. She is digging deep.
They want the laugh. So they make fun of the way Sarah Palin talks And the way she talks is not the problem.
There's certainly been a strange reaction to it. And then I've seen people who say, oh, no, you're helping them. You're helping them because people, it seems, makes her seem nice or, you know, or some Republicans say it's sexist. That's, you know, just crazy because you have to be able to goof on the female politicians just as much. Otherwise, you really are treating them like they're weaker or something. And this Sarah Palin is a tough lady. She kills things. Big kills animals that are like bigger than me and you together.
Did you catch that? Because you have to be able to goof on female politicians. Goof. Like the role of the satirist is to sit on the front porch and crack wise. Why doesn't Tina Fey just come out and admit that her satire is completely toothless?
Hey, Malcolm Gladwell, go fuck yourself. How's that sound? Tina Fey is funny as shit. She's a national treasure. You're a Canadian long-distance runner, pussy. Let me try and illuminate Malcolm Gladwell that the world isn't binary. There is no us and them. A satire's job is not to pick a winner. Okay, he was talking about how Sarah Palin is not isn't qualified for office. So why would a comedian be qualified to help sway an election? Why would someone whose job is to make funny jokes have any qualification whatsoever to have a mass movement against a political figure? That's insane. Comedians do make goof. That's our job. Make funny, make goof. I do this podcast to kind of exercise my demons the other direction. I like talking about human nature and all this stuff. But if you see me live, I'm not up there preaching. I'm not up there telling you how to live your life because I don't know. I know how to make fun of people. I know how to make heavy things feel light. And Tina Fey did a great, great, great job at that. And you know you're absolutely just fucked when you're saying Tina Fey has a conservative agenda. That's insanity. And I'm sure there's people right now listening to me right now being like, oh, that's because you're a Republican and you like Sarah Palin. Of course not. Of course I didn't want Sarah Palin vice president. But I don't matter. The best thing you can do is make fun of that. Because no one really knows. You know, everyone says they want to be on the right side of history. No one knows what that is for hundreds of years. When I was in the 1980s in elementary school, we were taught that Christopher Columbus was a hero. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa, and the Maria. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I don't know if you guys have read the news in the last 20 years, but the dude is no longer seen as a hero. He's a genocidal maniac. And think about that. That took 500 years. 500 years to put that one together. So when people think that they can analyze politics and know what's really happening and think that they can make game time decisions, they're insane. Do I have someone I would rather win this election? Yes, of course. Am I going to say that that's for sure the right move? No, because I'm a comedian. And there is a skill to comedy. And it makes me sad to listen to a Malcolm Gladwell, such a brilliant man who knows so little about the world. Just like Hillary Clinton, such a brilliant woman who knows so little about likability and what it means and how. In that essay she wrote about how like a guy was heckling her, that guy was potentially, if he didn't get into the school, he may have been drafted to Vietnam and shot dead. That time when she was being heckled to get into graduate school by men, they were facing a draft. They were facing the government grabbing them, sending them to Vietnam and having them killed for no reason. Why do you think everyone talks about Hitler all the time and how, oh, we'll get another Hitler? Just because that was the last war we won. The last war America won was Adolf fucking Hitler. 1945 was the last time America successfully won a war and could say that's the bad guy. Ever since then, it's been a lot of gray areas. I mean, is Osama bin Laden a bad guy? Of course. Saddam Hussein? Yeah. Half our presidents? Yeah. They're all fucking crazy. So the only thing to do is just poke at it and laugh at it because the country needs a release. Whoever's behind this building of tension, this nebulous. My take on Colin Kaepernick is probably a good dude, probably means well, but it's not a good social movement. Black Lives Matter is not a good social movement because there's no leadership. And saying that is not anti-black. It's not anti-America. It's not anti-anything. It just is. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to end segregation. He had a dream. Gandhi, he wanted to get the British out of India. Susan B. Anthony wanted the women's right to vote. You go right down the list. Martin Luther wanted to end the sale of indulgences by the Catholic Church. He had 95 demands, 95 theses, hammered them to the wall. Think of any movement, any of them, and they have demands. What's Black Lives Matter? What's Colin Kaepernick's demand? A dialogue, open up conversation, get people talking. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but people are talking about race nonstop to the point where the election, it's the presidential racism. It's not even about policy. It's not about shit. It's not about our actual threats. Obesity, you know, obesity is a major problem. And that is because of our diet, our shit diet, cyber hacking, global economics, women's rights as far as maternity. Everyone wants to talk about how much goddamn money they make. How about how we treat moms? You ever think about the other side of being a woman? You know, the side that makes all of us, that makes life possible? The reason we have a heartbeat is because a woman birthed us and held us and nursed us and cared for us and didn't kill us when we screamed. You ever think about that side of being a woman? Not 79 cents on the dollar, which is a disproved statistic. You know where that stat comes from? That's the median of all workers in America. When you go side by side, male, female, same exact job, same exact qualifications, there is a wage gap and it's 4 cents on the dollar. And that sucks. And I will do anything to bridge that gap. There is sexism in this world and it sucks. It's 96 cents on the dollar, but that isn't as sexy as 79 cents on the dollar. You know who has it the worst? Black women. So fucking deal with it. The monsters that we make is to create conflict, to sell people stuff because we worship money in this country. Oh, fuck. I know I'm ranting, but that's the whole point of this. I get to do this and I go on stage and talk about traffic and a wasted chicken spit on me. So this has been fun. This has been one of my more fun, why don't they laugh, because I'm passionate about this topic. Because sometimes this episode's tough, or this podcast is tough. I do them every week. I promise myself I do that. And some weeks I don't have material. I didn't bomb that week. You know, I'm kind of reaching a little. But sometimes I'm like, I need to talk to the people about some shit. And this is one of those weeks, and I love it. And my other podcast is doing really well. Case Closed, Beers Open with my brother. Subscribe to that. We're making something. My brother and I are making handcrafted presents for people. If you go to hugepianist.com and you buy us a beer or a 12-pack, we will send you something in the mail that's awesome. It's not just like a signed poster or something. It's a handmade. I don't want to reveal it because it's awesome. But we've been working hard on them. You'll like it, I promise. So yeah, and subscribe to this and comment in the comment section. One thing about iTunes that I love iTunes, obsessed. But one thing is I can't reply to your comments. And some of them, I really want to say thank you and engage with you guys. But I do read all of them. And it's important you comment on the podcast because that's what keeps us in the charts and keeps us coming up when people search podcasts. All those things really matter. When we tell you to subscribe and rate and comment, it's not just for our egos. It's for algorithms. Like it means that you're listening and then more people find it. And I want more people to listen to this because this message is important. And I didn't finish what I was talking about with Martin Luther and all those guys. It's like to start a conversation, all it does is make people tense because people want to stand behind rebels. It's in our instinct. Jesus, you know, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. We love that shit. Underdog, David and Goliath, great book by Malcolm Gladwell. I highly recommend it. I now question everything he says, though, because he knows absolutely nothing of comedy and does a complete podcast eviscerating Tina Fey, which is fucking crazy. Anyway, Malcolm Gladwell's the type of guy that would be like, the chicken just crossed the road. People asking why the chicken crossed the road defeats the purpose of the chicken's cross. Someone says, knock, knock. I say, who's there? You should tell me your name because you're at my doorstep and we're recreating someone at a door. Hillary Clinton's like, people should like me. I got straight A's. I married the most likable man. People should just like me, right? No. Likeability is a different currency and has nothing to do with sexism, and you fucking know it. There's a million women that people like. For example, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. What's the difference? They're funny. They laugh. Maybe these fucking people should start thinking more about what comedy actually is. You don't think, and it's not an agenda. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, both definitely like full-blown Democrat, liberal people. And like, there's tons of right-wing Montana fucking ranchers out there that are like, I like those two. My uncle is a full super right-wing and his lady is super left. She'll be organizing, you know, Mexican rallies for Trump while he's polishing his 30th gun. And all he says is, we don't talk politics at the table. It's not the dividing factor that people think it is. What the problem is, these people, they think that they can buy likability. And that's the limit of money. You know, people talk about money. I need more money. No, you can get as much money as you want. Does not make you likable. Likeability, and it kills them. It doesn't make you taller. Doesn't give you a bigger dick. Doesn't make your pussy wetter. Doesn't give you bigger tits. All this animal shit, you fucking miss out on. You can get enough, as many greenbacks as you want. You're fucking weak and you know it. And as rich and as influential as Hillary Clinton can become, no one will ever like her. I respect her. I respect her brilliance. She's not likable. Donald Trump, if you could potentially lose an election to Donald Trump, you suck. Donald Trump is way more likable and would be a terrible president. He knows he'd be a bad president. I think he did it as a goof. Want to talk about goofs? It probably started as a fucking goof. And he was like, there's no way if I keep saying this shit, people are still going to get on board. That's how unlikable Hillary Clinton is. Donald Trump, if you can't beat Donald Trump, you shouldn't that's fucking crazy. He's an orange face buffoon. Like, he contradicts himself in the same speech. He like reacts to hecklers by just fucking screaming at them. And that's more likable than Hillary Clinton. And the fact that she's such a fucking know-it-all goody two-shoes that she lies to the teacher about being sick so she can go to school. It's not that she's sick. It's the same problem with Steve Renazzisi. I like Steve Renazzisi. I'm not knocking the dude. He's a good dude. But when he lied about that 9/11 thing, about where he was on 9/11, people hated him not because he lied, but it's because it was so pointless. Like when Hillary lied about the emails, I'm not going to lie to you, I wasn't that bummed out. I was like, I'd lie about that. If I got fucking caught with classified shit, I'd lie. But would I lie and say I'm healthy when I'm not, when it's just pneumonia? Because the problem is once someone lies about dumb shit, then all bets are off. It's like, well, what else is there? Like, if you lie about the dumbest shit that doesn't matter, you would lie about anything. It's a pathological problem, and that's the problem. It's not her health. If she was like, hey, guys, I'm tapping out for the week. I got pneumonia. All right, is Hillary Clinton sick? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've been working my ass off. I'm really sick. People would literally be like, oh, feel better, Hillary. People troll her because they can sense that ambitious lizard nature and they fucking can feel it. Even her supporters. I'm kind of a supporter in a way. I don't give a fuck. I'll tell you how I stand. I'd rather have her elected than Donald Trump. There's no question. Just because she's brilliant. But then when she starts fucking doing this shit, you're like, that's why South Park's so important. Do you want a douche or a turd sandwich? And everyone just breathed a sigh of relief and was like, yes, we all hate them both. And that's the greatest trick the devil ever pulled, was convincing the world he didn't exist, right? The greatest trick American corporations ever pulled is convincing people you only have two options. binary thinking. Malcolm Gladwell is a binary fucking thinker, and I used to think the opposite of him. I used to think that guy... I was such a fan until I heard this about fucking... I'm not going to judge him just on this, though. His next book I'll listen to. I'll always listen to him because I don't want to judge a whole person based on one thing. God forbid, if people did that to me, I would be fucked. I've made some massive mistakes in my life. But I think he has too much ego to ever admit that. I think he has the Hillary Clinton disease where it's like, well, I'm so smart that you're wrong. And it's like, you're only one kind of smart. And I'm just smart enough to know that, but not so smart that I'm drowned in it. Like having college professor parents, but still being like kind of a redneck. I just know enough to know what not to know, if that makes sense. All right. So please rate, subscribe, all that jazz. Email me. whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. Hugepianist.com. That's Case Closed, Beers Open. You can get it on iTunes as well. And I'm touring right now. Right now I'm in Orlando all weekend. And then where am I next week? Dallas next week. Then I'm off for a week, thank God, because I miss my fucking family so much. Then Cleveland. Then Lake Placid. I'm doing Lake Placid, which is going to be fun. Atlanta. And that's it for October. And the rest of the time, I'm just going to be working on podcasting. But thank you so much for listening. And praise God, there is South Park.
Hey, what up, peeps? It's Jessie Mae Peluso here to tell you about my podcast, The Sharp Tongue, heard each week right here on the Sideshow Network. Every episode is a slice of my life as a touring comedian, and I'm bringing you my favorite funny and interesting friends to talk about whatever is on our minds. I talk about road stories, I talk about horror movies, music, putting fingers in buttholes. Everything you ever want to talk about is right here. It's A Sharp Tongue with me, Jessie Mae Peluso, every week on iTunes and the Sideshow Network. Download, rate, and subscribe, and tell a friend to check us out, because we need validation. And by we, I mean me. I'm alone here in the studio.